water program. I'm on the front of your cover. I will be enhancing your cassettes and CDs with certain facts that you may find beneficial. The average bounce meter for your Midnight Marauder program will be in the area of 95 BPM. We hope that you will find our presentation precise, bass heavy, and just right. Thanks.
Hi, this is Kenny Kramer, the real Kramer, and you're listening to WGXC Acra. And as Cosmo would say, giddy up!
Every Monday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. you can listen to our Modulism radio show. Airing electro meet acoustic music, championing the use of analog instruments. The use of electricity to sustain a sound produced with a musical intent. Each program lasts 1 hour and is especially dedicated to one composer.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry, call us at 551-299-2456, check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org, or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Lee Jamison of Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
$10,000 on a platform by crypto, and he gave me a number for the drone that the bank is in place. I would like to protect you from that. I do have the name of the bank. and maybe we can find out from them $10,000 on a platform by crypto, and gave me a number for the branch, but the bank is in point. So I got the detective to call me back. I do have the name of the bank, and maybe we can find out from them where the money is, where my money is.
Tapes, and
you sounded so
I found
nervous
something.
On the phone. Nervous
I
on the
found
phone.
A you particular
so
tape,
you sounded so
and I thought that
on the phone. Nervous
you two
on the
would
phone.
Like to know about it.
Phone. So nervous.
Well, I was
so
going
nervous.
Through tapes, and
what's
I found something.
What's up? What's
I found a
what's
particular
up?
Tape,
what's
and I thought that
what's
you two
up?
Would like to know about
what's
it.
Up? What's up?
Well,
what's
I was going through tapes.
What's
and
what's
I found
up?
Something.
What's up?
I found a particular tape, and I thought that
nice.
You two would like to know about it. Well, I was going through tapes, and I found something. I found a particular tape, and I thought that you two would like to know about it.
What's up? What's up?
Well, I was going through tapes, and
what's
I found something.
What's up?
I
what's
no,
what's
no,
up?
I don't think you
no
would remember. You didn't make this tape. I
really,
did.
Really,
I recorded you without
really,
your consent.
You sounded
it's
really,
something
you
I
sounded
did.
So nervous, so nervous.
Anyway,
on the phone.
I did it a long time ago.
Oh, nervous on the phone. Nervous
but the tape I found
the
is
what?
From
so
about 6 years
phone.
Ago.
What
it contains
be?
Some concerning information.
Nervous on the phone.
What could it be?
No.
What could it be?
No,
what
I don't think
be?
You
what could it be?
Would remember.
Phone.
You didn't make this tape.
I don't.
I
don't
did.
Remember any
I recorded you
tape.
Without your consent.
What could it be?
It's
what could it be?
Something I do.
What could be so bad?
Anyway,
so
I did it a long time ago. But the tape I found
so
is from about 6 years
me.
Ago. It contains some
be so bad.
Concerning
be so
information.
Bad. Be so bad.
No.
So
no, I don't think you would
I have
remember.
No memory.
So bad.
You
no
didn't make this tape. I did. I recorded you without your consent.
Yeah,
it's
sure
something
how
I do.
Sure
it
how
is your bank account and routing numbers. It's your voices on tape reading out your bank account and routing numbers
Hi,
one after another.
It's me. It's
why did you
April
do that?
15,
I
no,
can't remember the context. No, I don't think you
making
the tape
and
at all.
Give me this tape.
It
give me
is
this
your
give
bank
this
account
time.
And routing numbers. I
just
it's your voices
I recorded
on tape
you
reading out your bank account and routing numbers.
Something
I
do.
And here it is. Why did you do that? I can't remember the context for making the tape at all.
Hello. Welcome to Missives to the Ether. That was a recording. I'm trying to figure out what the best way to describe it is. That's a recording by our special guest today, G. Lucas Crane, from his new record, The Stuttering Years. You may also recognize him from his own show. What's the name of your show again? On Wave Farm?
Stuttering Words.
Stuttering Words.
Yeah.
Something about stuttering that you're really into, huh?
Yeah, I did it on purpose. This is my stuttering year.
Uh-huh.
The show came first, you know. So it's like we had to invent the word for the show. And then as the year goes on, it describes a lot. So once
yes.
when I was putting the album together, it turned out to be pretty... I just kept coming back to the basic subject matter of our show,
uh-huh.
which is righteous gibberish. And so that's basically what, that's the neologism. That's what stuttering means, apparently.
Stuttering means righteous. This is actually an important question because I was playing your record for my friend Katushka last night, and she asked me what is stuttering, and I didn't know what to say, and I didn't feel like looking it up, and so now I can tell her it's righteous gibberish.
Righteous gibberish.
Righteous gibberish.
You know, okay. So it kind of came from a. The speaking in tongues kind of thing,
okay.
In the sense that that's somehow righteous, that like in that context, inside that magic circle,
uh-huh.
that is righteous speech.
Uh-huh.
So I think it might like come out of that in the sense that my collaborator and I, Rick, have done a lot of pieces like that where it's like glossolalia, like secular absurdist glossolalia, like writ large for everything. So,
right.
So what we kind of got into with the show is that was a continuation of kind of our like approach that we've gotten a lot of work out of that, made a lot of work out of that like principle, but then this is like linguistically malleable now. Like now it's like a verb too, and it's like these things are stuttering and skittering, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like a conditional adjective you can like put on something.
Yeah.
And it autocorrects to shudder, you know, like all the things, the ways it can like it, the word like makes the mind kind of like, did you mean to say shudder? Like the computer and our brains are like, what do you mean stuttering? You mean shuddering? No, you heard what I said. Did I hear what you said? You know, so,
uh-huh.
so I since the subject matter of the show is such, and like our, it's kind of like a technique.
Yeah.
Too. And
yeah,
like, yeah. And so when I was putting my solo album together, I realized that that was the word that describes a lot of what I'm doing is ripping the stuff apart, boiling it down. You're kind of engaged in like constant media chop up, which is turns into this like live performed feedback loop that you do with yourself. Mm-hmm. All the time when you're like, you're reading something and then it gives you an idea that then you write in your diary and you put half of a quote in there, and then you take that diary, you know, a year later and you like are writing a bigger essay, and then those things go in there. And so, you know, like the idea that you're like trying to catch something and constantly sieve like more and more information or more and more of your inspirations or more and more of your motivations or something down into some sort of piece.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good word. It's like make up a word. If you are engaged in something and you don't have a word for it, go ahead and make one up. Because
I firmly believe in that rule. Want to hear my favorite word that I've made up?
Yes.
Oh God, now I'm going to, now that I've like announced that I've made up this, it's gone.
Oh no, your favorite word that you made up.
My favorite word that I made up.
You can't remember.
It's about when, kismetic.
Ah, kismetic, yes. See,
kismetic.
And see, the greatest thing about these neologisms, you did a great job with that because the meaning is instantly like available to me, even if you haven't defined it yet. So please tell me what it means.
Well, it's like it's naming something as kismet, as something kismet. That's meant to be.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of giving it, it's enlarging its possibility as a word by making it an adjective.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. So
it's not a real word, and I use it all the time. And people are like, "Wait, is that?" And I'm like, "No,
no." But
it
see,
can
but
be.
You're just doing real. You're just doing like primordial real language stuff. Like what even like the smallest like you need the audacity of like even the smallest child to like enter into this. You know, like it's like take a word, take a suffix, stick it on the thing,
make it functional.
You know, put all this stuff together. You know, like people. That's what, you know, people are like, oh, the German, the words are so long. It's like, no, that's a lot of different concepts all shoved together. That's why the word, quote unquote, is really long, because it's describing stuff that in our language takes all of these little tiny words, but it's just a whole freaking sentence. It's fine, you know, like.
Yeah. Once you get down with the flow, you're fine. You'll be okay.
Once you get down with the flow.
Cool. Well, all right. So I have mentioned this in social media, but we're breaking the form of the show today. You know, me and Lucas are definitely talking. We're talking like we always talk, which is kind of like in these like kind of moments of ramble, which you've just experienced. and we're going to keep on doing that. But we're also going to kind of incorporate kind of tapes and tarot, and we're going to play a bit of a game, and we're going to get into that. And I feel like, you know, his full bio is on the show page for on Wave Farm's show page. So, you know, he's played at a lot of amazing places, Pioneer Works, Roulette, Issue Project Room, blah, blah, blah. He's amazing. This record's great. and you can find it on Bandcamp, I believe.
Yeah. Artsy Records out of Finland.
Artsy Records out of Finland. Shout out. But we're gonna play with some tapes and tarot cards today, and that's gonna be our day. And when's your show on again? Just to kind of keep it in the fam with the Wave Farm thing.
Oh, my Wave Farm show is the second Thursday of every month. WGXC.
What time?
On 7 to 9.
7 to 9.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
7 to 9, second Thursday of every month. Stuttering Words.
Yeah. But right now we're listening to Missives to the Ether. So. Yeah, so how this game came about, or how we came to decide on playing this game for you kind listeners, is Lucas was telling me a great story about being in Berlin and hanging out with these Icelandic witches, and this is how we came to where we are now. But, like, can you please just tell us about that interaction?
Yeah, so, no problem. Everything's got to start somewhere, and it might as well start with an anecdote, a pithy anecdote. But I just wanted to say that I like, Kat is one of the people that I can unabashedly talk about tarot with.
Yes.
So, you know, I need to not have it. You know, people who, it happens a lot with astrology where you know people who are like, oh no, don't mention astrology around them. They're not going to have a good response. And then some people, they're not like believers, but they'll allow you to talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tarot is very functional in some ways. It's very important to large swaths of the population. And for other people, it's just, you know, execrable or something, you know. And then there's people who feel very neutral about cards and people talking about the interpretation of a drawing of a series of cards, you know. So it's always funny to, like, not know who, like, what, you know, what level you're going to encounter someone's, like, tarot knowledge at. So I'm in Berlin, I'm on tour, I'm hanging out with all these other musicians, I've been booked to play this interesting festival in Berlin. But a lot of the people playing this festival, the artist who's booking it is from Iceland. And so a lot of the artists are Icelandic and come over from Iceland. And I've spent a little time there making some art, and I have some friends, some Icelandic friends, to this day. Love the place. I love going and hanging out on the surface of the moon that is a fully beautiful, wonderful society. So everybody I'm encountering is really great. One of the bands is three... like hilarious Icelandic musician women, and we are hanging out after one of the gigs, and we're all staying in the same apartment, and they break out the tarot cards, but it becomes clear to me that they all just have the book in their head, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is what I mean about, like, different people who for this game or this way of gathering inspiration in your life is so important to these hilarious ladies that they can just interpret any throw of the cards. Like, no one's looking anything up. They just, like, know from looking at the spread.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just doing the tarot reading, mm-hmm, like, live. And I thought that was so cool. It was like watching, you know, Spider-Man, like, swing through an urban landscape. It created such, like, amazing storytelling possibilities because it was so fast. You know, no one was, like, looking things up. That tends to be kind of, that's like the fun tarot is like a parlor game kind of thing. So, but even if we're like, we've had some drinks, we're hanging out, it's late at night, early in the morning, but it still becomes, the tarot reading becomes, like, so intensely personal and fun to me that we can just kind of instantly, their facility was so, like, amazing that we could just instantly start having fun with it, making up strange tarot games. And that's what we did. And because, so we're sitting there, we're having these, like, fun tarot readings, and because of what I do, which is to constantly hang out next to a giant box full of colored cassette tapes, it becomes very easy to lock in with this, like, secret that's been in the back of my mind for a long time, that this box of cassette tapes is also a tarot deck. And then you start looking, and you look over the balcony, you look at a bunch of birds lighting upon a tree branch outside, and you're like, that's a tarot card. And then suddenly you, like, walk out, and the light hits the sidewalk in a certain way, and you're like, this is a tarot card.
The universe is full of symbols.
And it becomes, and it all becomes tarot, okay? So, distinctly, the game we started playing was because I have this big box of colorful, hieroglyphically labeled tapes, the game was they pulled a card and put it out, and then I stuck my hand in without look. You know, you don't look, pull a card, put it down, and then at the same time, I stick my hand into this box of tapes and lay a tape on top of that card. We did that, you know, maybe four or five times until we have this spread of tarot card with a concurrent tape.
Okay.
And then once we had those five down, we got to the interpretation where one of the gals would then interpret the card, and then I would describe what sounds were on the tape that it went with and where it came from in my life.
Okay.
And we went, and as we went through this game, this like after party game, it became like simultaneous like sound interpretation, or interpreting the sounds on the tape in a tarotistic kind of manner.
Got it.
And
okay.
So and it became that. But like, so it was like an expert in the crazy tarot pile in the, and then the expert in the crazy tape pile, and we were doing this kind of like joint self reading.
Sweet.
And it became very like freewheeling.
Great. Okay. So my instinct now, welcome to our open rehearsal, dear listeners. So we're going to do like, maybe we'll start like with like a three card, like a past, present, future kind of situation.
Sounds good.
You know, three cards, three tapes. Does that seem or do you want to go harder?
Let's start it this way. Maybe we can do a couple of them because
yeah, we can add on. Because
it's definitely by the seat of one's pants. And also, we
live through this.
This is the like storytelling potential of like a series of symbols, you know,
yes.
that are either on cards or,
right.
or cassettes. So just to explain what the tape stuff the pile of tapes here. Every time I say pile of tapes, I like try to touch this so you can hear that. This is a very triggering sound for people from a certain generation.
Hear that or sound? Comforting, depending on where yeah. you know
or
you
comforting.
might miss it.
but I keep kind of a sonic diary. I've done it for most of my adult life. Walk around with a tape deck, and when I make audio pieces and for performance, I'm DJing cassette tapes. So over the years, the cassettes themselves have the nature of needing to label them in increasingly more complicated kind of personal hieroglyphic terms to distinguish them from each other have turned just a pile of tapes that I'm like pulling for different performances into this like color coded like phantasmagoria of like my memories.
It's absolutely a beautiful image of tapes.
So these, that's why it looks like tarot
rainbow.
Card.
It's like a rainbow.
It's like tarot decks for me. This is like, yeah. you know, and then the more I think about tarot and like, and get readings or have like experiences like this, like my work then becomes like also a tarot reading I'm like doing on myself. It's a rich tapestry.
Do you want to shuffle the cards a bit and then pick three?
Sure.
We'll do like, you know, just move them around, get your energy on them, and then we'll lay them on top of my laptop so they are visible but not in our way of the tapes.
I also like the idea of like coming to a radio. Okay, I'm gonna pick three.
Let's do that.
Oh, sorry.
So we can see.
Yep. One, two.
Three. Past, present, future. What were we going to say about doing this on the radio? I think I know what you're going to say. Everyone says it to me all the time, but go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is that this, it would be cool if this were a more traditional service where I'm like, I need a tarot reading. I need to know some stuff. I would like to have a little session. This is important for my life, but I also want it to be public. And I want, so, you know, like if like tarot radio shows should go nationwide.
I wonder if they do exist. You know, our dear mutual friend, Leah Bertucci calls me the Miss Cleo of the DIY scene. And I'm not against it. Like I'm not against it, but I'm not going for that. But you know, respect to Miss Cleo. She was amazing. Okay. So we have three cards. So are we going to do like you pick a tape? Oh, I'm going to pick a
yeah,
tape.
Yeah, so you're going to close
okay.
your eyes and
I'm
just get your hands in there. And yeah, I have to pick
okay.
three tapes.
So for those in the listening audience, I'm closing my eyes and sticking my hand into a vat of colorful tapes and just vibing it out, trying to figure out who wants me to pull them out, and you know, just kind of hoping for the best here. All right, three tapes have been chosen.
Okay, looks like we got ourselves the first spread. So
okay.
I think that a fun way to do this game is to keep the tapes with each card that
love
we did.
This.
So
I love
we,
this.
Should
this
we flip them around?
Fun. Yeah.
Okay, so this is past. This is present.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
And this is the future.
Okay. Okay. All right. Do you want to interpret this from your own personal angle, or?
Okay. So I think what makes this game cool is that it's two people, with bringing both their skills together. So
okay.
I am versed on my deck, and you are on your deck. So
uh-huh.
So you are the tarot card side of this interpretation
okay.
game, and I am the tape side of the interpretation
okay.
game.
Okay,
so,
okay, cool.
So the first one we seem to have is the Nine of Swords reversed.
It is reversed, and I always feel like I do like to do some reversals. Is a, you know, for those of you who are not tarot people, there's a whole belief system about reading reversals or not reading reversals. I was in the non-reading reversals camp for a long time. Not because I didn't want to learn, but it just felt like correct. And then I realized that I was not giving the full reading by not acknowledging the reversals.
Right.
So I am in the space of getting better at acknowledging them. But especially since I, you know, in some ways, it is a dual knowledge base, but we're kind of like, who's the message for? And we did this last month with Kevin Gottkink. We did like kind of like more of like a universal reading. So I, you know, since we're going to think collectively and not individually or self or about ourselves, or we're going to try not to think about ourselves. It's impossible not to think about yourself, but like also like we're trying to do this as a collective act. So I just kind of want to get a little bit of a check-in about the reversals. Okay.
I also like the reversals because to me it's just more variables. You know, the cards have different meanings if when they're up, when they're straight up or straight down, you know, that's pretty interesting. Like a whole new set of variables.
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, okay, Nine of Swords is a pretty intense card. As you can see, it's a person sitting in bed with their face in their hands crying while Nine Swords are hanging over their head. You know, you don't have to be really knowledgeable about tarot to know that card means that things are pretty bad right now, and you're going through it. Like, this is a universal you're going through it card.
Going through it. It's me coming home all twisted with all the swords that I woke up in my house.
Exactly.
With swords.
The swords in your soul, the swords in your heart, the swords in your brain. It's all the swords. So letting the reversal into the conversation feels really important, and I'm glad that we did, because basically it means you've been through it. You've already come through the worst of it. So I think this is a really lovely way to kind of, especially in its past placement, to kind of acknowledge the worst of what we've been through has already passed. We're coming on the other side of the lesson. Now tell me about the tape.
Okay, so this, the Nine of Swords reversed here is paired with this tape. Now, this is funny to do on the radio because nobody listening to this could see it, but this tape is from 2019. I know that because of the color of the tape.
Yeah.
It's a dark blue purple kind of tape that I bought in 2019. I was in Berlin in 2019, going to grad school. So I'm at a new school. I'm meeting lots of new people, making lots of new friends. I'm not, you know, I have some friends in the city, but, you know, I'm being like dumped into this whole new social world. And I made this tape here, and what's funny, I'm just like, I'm going to giving part of like interpreting these things is to give, you know, some like context for what it is, but for like what it looks like, but also, you know, what it sounds like. So I would kind of put this as, I associate this tape with like being in new places, new collegiate, new educational experiences, making lots of new friends, like being extremely social. The sounds that we're hearing right now are made primarily with my voice. So this is me moved into a new apartment in 2019 and making small little like kind of vocal pieces. I'm inviting like people that I've just met over to my house to make recordings with them, and I'm making these series of tapes and spending a lot of time painting them very carefully. When I like the tapes more, and I like the tapes, what the sounds that are on the tapes, I want to paint them and make them pretty to distinguish them into perpetuity, into the future. I want to be attracted to them as, and it's like a trigger for my memories. So the fact that it looks like I've spent a lot of time painting this particular tape in 2019.
It's very beautiful.
It's got a nice green triangle on it. I've used some like, like acrylic paint on it, but this tape is full of my love, and it's full of like new beginnings. So that's kind of what this is. This is a little ditty or a little sound sketch from when I was starting like a new like life path, like me going back to school after not being in school for a very long time. So I associate that with it. And something else that's odd is just this morning,
yeah,
I made this series of tapes with a couple of friends that I had just met.
Uh-huh.
And one of them, I hadn't heard from her in a couple of months. Uh-huh. And she got in touch with me this morning.
Whoa, kismetic.
So that's pretty
kismetic.
So that's pretty kismetic. So that's the sound of the Nine of Swords reversed from tape from 2019, about that I would associate that with new collegiate beginnings.
And I'm obsessed with that too, because I feel like it bleeds right into our next card in our presence place. Eight of Cups reversed. Eight of Cups is very much about kind of going on a journey, a vision quest, if you will, like kind of knowing that you have to, knowing that it's time to go, knowing that you're ready to go. It tends to kind of mean, it's flippant to call it a vision quest, or it's very much a time or a trip for to live through your purpose or to pursue your purpose. And reversed means that you've come home and now it's time to integrate what you've learned from the trip into your current home.
Into my current home.
Mm-hmm. So it's like this is so on the other side. And that's why I think it's really interesting, kind of connected to, you know, the tape being from that time when you were pursuing your studies in Berlin and kind of opening up to new possibilities and new people. But now it's the other side, like you're back,
right,
in
I'm
the
back.
Present. And now it's time to kind of share what you've learned, which you literally just did.
And that's very interesting, considering that the tape that the Eight of Cups reversed is paired with here in our reading is the opposite of the things that we're talking about, which is this tape. It's purple. It is, unlike the last tape, not very prettily painted, but the color of the tape, a deep crystalline purple, is a series from probably 2007, 2008. So this is from a long time ago when I was...
Big Ben was not a
clock. Oh, my gosh.
Big Ben is not a
What's
clock.
What's happening there?
Not a clock.
Okay, so this tape is deep purple tape from... I was wrong. It wasn't from 2007. I was a few years off. This is from 2010. It is full-on theatrical gibberish by a bunch of theater artists in a room. Now, it's labeled with Andy,
Gibbs.
It's labeled with Gibbs
and a little star.
It just says the word Gibbs, which I believe is an Andy Gibbs reference for some reason. But it's basically a tape.
Bell located in the clock. Contrary to popular belief, the mongoose is not immune to the venom of the cobra.
Oh my goodness.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so this tape is extremely emotionally intense tape. This is a tape of gibberish with a bunch of people in a room making gibberish into my cassette tape. But it's full of, but a lot of the people on this tape are like from, it's like from a time when they, how can I put this on the radio? It's a lot of estranged, emotionally intense people. It's a lot of like estranged energy, like couples who don't speak anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one time we were all just wacky lunatics in a room that didn't have maybe deeper relationships than our life commitment to, you know, righteous gibberish and hilarious like asides. But the tape is something that I use because it's sonically really amazing. The Gibbs tape. But it is a gibberish tape. It's straight up a gibberish tape. And everybody on it has broken up and no longer talks to each other anymore. Like it's, so it's a tape full of people who are relating to each other. But
who are not in relation anymore.
Who now have like lots of animosity. Now there's lots of animosity. So it's like a tape full of gibberish. So anytime I play that tape, the gibberish still works really great. If I need some gibberish and throw that into a set, into a composition, into a piece, sometimes I pick up this Gibbs tape. The Andy Gibbs tape. But if I let it off too much...
Or is it short for gibberish?
It might be short for gibberish.
Okay.
But I believe that, that there's a bunch of Andy Gibb on the end of it.
Oh.
But,
that's so literal.
But, you know, so it's like some literal stuff. But this tape is very powerful, as in I don't... when I every time I play it... The point I'm trying to make is anytime I try to play this tape and get it for the cool gibberish that's on it, I feel like I can't play it too much. Because it'll let out. I can't play it straight. I have to like manipulate the crap out of it.
Right, right, right. You're making it sound kind of demonic. Yeah, I understand. It's almost like kind of like if you play it straightforward, it's like you're kind of, it's a Pandora's box of that animosity. You might release it.
Of that time.
Yeah.
I let too much because at the end of the day, each cassette tape is just a trap for a certain amount of time, for a certain point in time. You know, you can take something
it's
from
a portrait.
It's a portrait. It's like a moment. And when you show up with a big suitcase full of it, it's different. It's little like scintillated little gems that have caught like little pieces of time. Right. Not to put too fine a point on it. But what I mean is that if I play it straight and I don't touch the tape, if I don't manipulate it enough, I feel like I feel like I need to like mitigate its like the toxic stuff that might be on there. Like I'm almost afraid of this tape.
And I think, you know, in some ways that kind of relates to Eight of Cups, or like I think kind of to nuance our meeting here with Eight of Cups is like, you know, a lot of times we leave a place, you know, to begin anew, to kind of like enhance on our kind of paths and kind of our knowledge bases or what have you. But also in a lot of ways, we're leaving behind situations and relationships that we've outgrown.
Right.
And so in some ways, I'm interpreting that tape being a relationship to the card in reversal is like being able to come home and being able to kind of look at these past dynamics for what they are, or have like a new perspective on them too.
Yeah.
Which is like helpful to kind of, you know, or not, you know, but like, I think sometimes we get with new perspective within ourselves, we can have new perspectives on situations from the past sometimes.
Well, I perpetually want more different perspectives, and I want to grow and learn, and I want to, so you want to keep stuff that is yourself and you want to grow and learn, but like go on a vision quest, but you're with someone else.
Yeah.
There's only so much of that vision quest that you can impart via communication and art, or via direct like just talking, or inside of a relationship. There's an anxiety that like the person you're with might not be able to go with you on that journey, or come back, or you.
Yeah,
might not come.
I don't think they went with you on this journey, or they went with us. They're not. You know, we're. But it's just about our perspective on it. Like that's really more the thing I'm trying to get at. Is like kind of like, yeah, like who knows where they I hope we hope the best for them. But like but like for the most part, we're like, okay, I have a perspective on seeing whatever was good for what it was. And also being able to kind of just, you know, take what you want and leave the rest, you know, kind of vibes, you know, yeah. about the situation, which I think it feels very compatible with this Eight of Cups card, actually.
Man, we really drew some good stuff. Okay. So yeah. like the tapes are as just as potent as these, like as these tarot cards.
They're giving and they're serving, which okay. leads to, you know, I think we could probably do two more after this, but, yeah. So the last for now is we have the Knight of Wands, who is an awesome, awesome, fierce individual. They are all about just going for it. Like, you know, like that you want a person, you want to win, you want a job, you want it, you're going to go get it. You know what you want, you're not turning back. And they're going to win. The Knight of Wands wins.
I want to win.
Yeah. Fierce, proud energy. Like, do not get in the way of Knight of Wands.
This Knight of Wands card is paired with a tape from the very distant past, my very distant past. If you see what's going on inside this tape visually,
yes.
Do you see what's going on there?
Oh, yeah.
It is full of loose paper. So I had an artist residency.
Yes.
It was the first artist residency I ever got as like a young baby artist. And one of the things I did was take these tapes completely apart and fill them with what amounts to like glitter and like different colored paper.
That
so,
feels like a very young artist kind of thing to do.
It was really, yeah, in the sense that it takes a really long time and you unspool the tapes and then...
Something about decomposition in there.
Yeah. Except I had this art, I had an artist residency. This is one of the tapes I made in that... very first time I was ever, a residency, give me a room, you know, like the very first time I'd ever been given a room as an artist yes. to make this thing. And at the time I was making a bunch of work in this room. It was inside of a clock tower in Manhattan.
Literally
the clock tower residency.
Amazing.
So
yeah,
so this is like maybe 2009 or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And 2009, 2010, something like that, okay? And one of the other things that I was doing at that exact time when I had that residency all the way back then, I was putting these tapes together. This is just an example of an audio composition that I made in that residency. But it's part of a series of tapes. There's probably about 10 of them that all look like this. And I had made them to try to get someone to fall in love with me.
Oh.
I was trying to kick it to someone really hard.
The Knight of Wands, pursuing true love.
And I was trying to pursue love. And I had a really big crush on someone. And I knew that they... made music and kind of were interested in what I did, so I made a bunch of tapes to give to her. And this is in that series. So this isn't one of those tapes, because like I don't exactly have those couple of
tapes.
Did
you actually give her the tapes?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it worked.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Then we fell in love, and then we got married, and we
Knight of Wands,
and we were that sure worked out for a really long time.
So Knight of Wands energy right there. So this was like practice. Did you put paper in those tapes that you gave to her?
Yeah, I mean, like that. All the tapes were made in a certain series,
and so
I gave a couple of the tapes to her. But they all looked exactly like I. You pulled that out. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe you touched that card. This tape, because these are tapes from my first artist residency, little sonic compositions that I was making. It took a lot of effort to take all of the tapes completely apart and put them back together.
Yeah.
And then I gave some of the ones from this series to a woman that I had feelings for, and it worked, because we wound up getting married.
Great. We can probably get away with two tapes, I think. But then I think I see a message here.
Two more. I mean, like we're on a roll. This is wild.
I know. We've got 10 minutes, though.
Okay.
The show goes by fast.
Oh, it does. Oh, my goodness.
I warned you.
Okay, let's do one quick.
Warned you.
Let's do it.
All right. Where are the cards?
They're over. Where are the cards? Yeah. Dude.
Don't mind us here. We're just having an open rehearsal.
No. I mean, you're right.
I told you to go by fast. All right. So am I picking one or two cards?
Let's do two. Let's do two. We can just.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. And I will do the cards.
Yeah.
And?
I love this. Ooh, I love this.
Okay, so.
I think you're getting, I won't say this on air, but you're getting a message, Lucas. I can see it.
That's what I came here for. I came here to get an extremely useful tarot reading to me. My life is cuckoo bananas. So
there's a narrative playing out here.
And that means everything, when you are in cuckoo banana style, it means everything is touched with dire portent and meaning infuses every little, everything looks like an omen to you.
Well, going back to our first two cards in our spread, like, I know you're being silly and facetious, but like, it's actually true. So our next card of our last two, before we round this out, we're going to try to get this done in 9 minutes. Actually, you know what? How about I do the cards and then you do the tapes?
Okay.
And then I'll try to wrap it up in a meeting. Let's see if we can make that work. So we got Reverse Justice, which is awesome. Reverse Justice is pretty much just, you know, it is like kind of making right out of things that are wrong. And the reversal is also that it's a reframing on thinking of like what is truly wrong before figuring out how to kind of make adjustments and to get that justice. And that is part of the path, is like really coming to terms with the things that, you know, things are just not black and white, right or wrong, you know, perspective, who gets to say, you know, it from what purview is right, except how it feels inside. You know, these are all the things to think about. So that's the Reverse Justice card.
Okay, Reverse Justice is paired with the sounds that we're listening to right now. This tape is a blood red tape painted with yellow and orange flames, and it just says the word swan on it, written in black. We're hearing the sounds about it now. These are from a series of tapes that I made in about 2013, 2014, and they all kind of sound similar like this. They're all pastoral synthesizer like loops made for a very small theatrical like ditty that I was pulling with my friend. But this is a pastoral tape. This is from a pastoral series. It's made for, it's music composed to sound like, you know, around a pond with birds.
And I think, you know, it feels correct with a Reverse Justice, because it's really the energy it's giving to me is all about kind of sitting with your thoughts and really kind of taking, you know, thinking things through. You need space. You need some abstract, minimal, like,
you need just to sit at the edge of a pond.
You need to sit at the edge of a pond and just think it through and not have any distractions except figuring out what feels like truth and justice to you, and wanting that for all involved.
I think that works out really good. You need a pond to.
You
need a pond. You need a place to have. You need a space to have those thoughts.
We all, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, going, yeah, and you know, you kind of can't, there's some ponds around here, so you're in the right place, yeah. I think. Two of Wands is pretty much, and I think this is, like, actually kind of a good place to kind of, like, as the end of our message, for a collective message for the month. Two of Wands is pretty much, she is raring to go, but kind of still trying to find her course. Like, she's not exactly sure which way to go. She knows, she's assessing her options. And you know, and kind of just coming to a place like kind of like, you know, you don't have to make a decision right now. Just kind of like weighs the pros and cons of the various directions or options available to you in whatever way you're thinking about going forward.
My goodness. It is paired. The sonic tableau it is paired with is just full on, kind of circuit bent, like studio breakdown work. Okay.
It sounds like organizing your schedule like Tetris.
Right. So this is a recording made in a studio live like a synthesizer, bunch of synthesizers around with an artist who tears apart toys and manipulates them. So this is just coming out of some strange toy sitting on his workbench. It's live. It's me standing in a room of an artist with a tape recorder in my hand, just like recording my life and my friends.
Which is what you do.
Which is what I do.
Your purpose, dare I say.
My purpose is to gather all these little slivers of time up. You even hear a cat. You can hear his cat. Did you just hear that? That was his cat.
That's a cat! I heard the cat.
Cat knows. The cat's there. So you were saying that she's raring to go.
It's not that she's like unsure. She knows she's got to like make a choice, like kind of move on, go forward. Like she's back from the journey. Like I do see, just to kind of give us this, like, coming to terms with the fact that like the hard part or the worst of it is over. We have gone through the mire of it all. And simultaneously, you know, and also kind of a lot of like the hard things comes out of kind of going away to kind of find yourself, to come back home and kind of get grounded again and having new perspective on the past, because we've gone on that journey and we've gone through these new experiences and we're excited to like go for it and also remember the times that we did go for it and it turned out really well for whatever amount of time that it took to go, that it went well. But, you know, also things go awry, right and wrong gets twisted.
Yes.
It becomes blurred and, we also have to kind of process that what feels right, or there is no quantifiable right or wrong. Sometimes we are just negotiating the gray together, and also kind of going back to the purple tape that reminds us of that. But with all that we've taken in and our new perspectives and all of that, we can kind of see like, well, what are the new options that are available to me to move forward? You know, to not quite yet in Knight of Wands energy, like, yeah, like this is it. This is what I want. I'm ready to kind of like tear down the walls, but I'm just looking at my options and being like, what are the pros and cons? Is this something that, you know, it sounds good, but like probably appealed to me before I went on this journey, but like now it's not really my thing. And so these are the kinds of assessments and discernments that we have to kind of make to decide how to go forward. But at the end of the day, remembering that no matter what, we always are in our purpose and doing our work.
Oh my goodness. Again, another completely accurate and appropriate reading for the exact moment that I am at in my life. Wild.
So we're going to wrap up. Do you want to like wonk around with tapes for a little bit for the last 2 minutes? And, you know, you should definitely check out Lucas's show on with Suttering, the Suttering Ear?
The Suttering Word.
The Suttering Words, sorry, I can't remember. Also here on Wave Farm, check out their great record. It's on Bandcamp, and also you might see us perform together sometime in Kingston next month at the Dog Park.
Yes, I can't wait for that. I'm really excited. Get in a room, pull a sonically appropriate, poetically appropriate show. It sounds really fun. I think it would make sense for me to just play some of these, the tapes from this reading together.
We got a minute left. See you next month.